driving the think that what we wanted to share with the portfolio committee in relation to that is that it has been a quarter in which we have done a large amount of stock taking around the performance of the department in the course of the year, be it delivery performance, be it financial performance, be it HR performance. We've reviewed a number of processes in that quarter and put ourselves on a better basis going forward in relation to financial management, in relation to performance planning and delivery, and in relation to our HR processes. The audit reports again exceeded the plans for the target. The portfolio committee will be aware of the fact that we had internal audit challenges during the course of the year, and the putting in place of capacity then enabled us at the end of the year to be able to ensure that we had 6 audit reports initiated and dealt with in that quarter. Going forward, obviously, we want to ensure that we are able to do internal audit processes as we go through the course of the year. And now that we've got that capacity in place, we will certainly be able to manage that more effectively than we had last year, and that will be a better value add for management in this financial year. In terms of the staff, in our APP, we had two sets of targets. We had targets broken down to appointments per quarter, and we also then had the full funded establishment for the year of 142. So we have reported against both. We had appointed 8 people in the last quarter, which is exceeding the target for that quarter by 4, and we reached a total of 139 by the end of the financial year, which left us with a vacancy of 3 posts. On the financial reporting, the expenditure is reported there. We had exceeded the target that had been set for the year, and that was a process of developing a spending plan towards the end of towards the end of the third quarter, and ensuring that we drove that spending plan and the delivery of that of those outputs very hard in the fourth quarter, and in that sense overachieved on the target that had been put in place when we had planned in the APP. All in all, on the administration program, we had spent 32% of the budget for that program, that amounts to almost 16.5 million for that administration budget program in that quarter. Chairperson, moving on then to budget program 2. The first indicator is a regular survey of the public sector, and the survey that was done during this quarter is a survey on the direct employment through public service and municipalities. It drew on a number of different sources of information to be able to pull together the levels of employment creation within the public sector. So that is the deliverable on that KPI for quarter 4. In terms of the impact of the state actions on employment assessed through modelling, we had initiated a process with the ILO. We signed the MOU with the ILO in the fourth quarter to develop a dynamic social accounting matrix, which will enable us to develop a model that will enable comparison of different state interventions on employment and looking at budget or other constraints. So that is a process which is being piloted at this point, and it will be available by the end of this year in a refined way. But the development was initiated through that MOU signed in the last quarter. We've also done a modelling exercise on employment impact of South African exports to Africa. There are certain indicators that we didn't have targets for in the fourth quarter. I'm not going to refer to those, but we have included them in the report so that it is transparent where there was not an indicator set for that quarter. In terms of workshops on assessing employment impact of the state, there are workshops that were held in Gauteng, and in the Western Cape, with targeting senior management officials within the economic policy and planning and the M&E units of those two provinces, to be able to look at the highlighting the impact of the employment within those sectors. The dates of those are provided in the report. The next indicator then speaks to the South African Development Index. This is a process that had been work done during the course of the year. We got to the stage in the fourth quarter of developing a pilot South African Development Index, which we are now monitoring in test phase in this financial year. On the annual index analysis of trends in employment inequality and growth, this was a major piece of work completed during the fourth quarter, work that had started in the third quarter going forward, a presentation done to the cabinet reporter that evaluated the progress on the NGP targets, on the work that has been done on the key action plans, and looked at what needs to be improved to get enhanced outcomes going forward. On the EDD conference, the EDD conference had in fact been held earlier in the year, and so there was not an EDD conference held in the fourth quarter. On moving then to the inclusive growth strategy outcome, the first element there is to the development of sectoral methodologies. A sectoral methodology was developed for African development, focusing on three sectoral case studies: petroleum, coffee, and infrastructure, looking at those areas within Africa and looking at what methodology could be drawn from that. That report has also then proposed a common approach to sector methodology that will support a prioritization of employment creation, equality, and growth. So the narrative of the quarterly report then gives you some detail as to the three elements that have come out in that report: a summary review of the experience of sector strategies in South Africa, the rationale for sector strategies, taking historical factors into account, and then a review of the constraints in relation to the employment creation, equality, and growth at sectoral level. Moving on from there to the Competition Act, the Portfolio Committee would be aware of the fact that we had reviewed the Competition Amendment Act and we had moved in the fourth quarter to get the process of promulgation of Section 6 of the Act to take effect as from the 1st of April, and that is the section of the Competition Amendment Act that enables the market inquiry that has fed into the health market inquiry that was deliberated on in some length in the budget vote speech. In terms of other policy interventions, there was work done around the trade and investment relations between the BRICS countries and on regional dimensions that enabled the minister to have some input for the BRICS processes. There were additional interventions around developments in infrastructure, industrial development, industrial relations, and there's been work done with higher education on how to improve the management of supply side planning for skills development to ensure that we are better able to look at long-term skills planning, so that we're able to ensure that we've got the right set of skills as a country for the economic development going forward. In relation to policy platforms, we had a policy platform on industrialization in Africa, which was set at a high-level participation of experts and government officials looking at issues in relation to that trajectory. On the impact of BBBEE on NGP targets, there was work that had been commissioned earlier in the year that was received at this point, so as the process has gone on most of the year that culminated in the receiving of that report, and that then also moving then to the regular engagement on policy issues, the four legs under that, the first was on the gender strategy. A review was conducted on gender strategy, done by an analysis of women's participation within the economy, and there were then proposals to look at how to action the strategy that came out of that. That was workshopped with national experts on gender in January, part of the beginning of the fourth quarter. The youth employment strategy has been a very significant part of work in the fourth quarter, obviously a culmination as well of work that has been ongoing. And that's part of the challenge that we have as a department of processes that start at an earlier part of the year and then get reported on at the point of culmination. The youth employment strategy was presented to Cabinet in February. It was endorsed by Cabinet, and ultimately that then went through to the announcement in the State of the Nation address and into the ultimate signing of the accord, although that took place in April, as I'm sure we all know. In relation to the strategy on micro enterprises, livelihoods and social economy, the work that was done in relation to that was the putting together of a report again from a process that had been initiated way earlier in the year, and ensuring that we identified strategic interventions to support growth in the micro enterprise sector. In relation to the Economic Development Institute, as reported on in the previous quarterly reports, there had been work done on that in previous quarters, and there was not a specific deliverable being delivered in the fourth quarter. That then gets us to the end of Program 2, an expenditure level in that program of 11%, which is a figure of just over 2 million spent in that budget program. I'm now moving to Program 3, the Economic Planning and Coordination Budget Program. The first indicator relates to the engagements with provincial and local government. There was an engagement with Free State government through their Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs around high-impact provincial projects and a relationship established between us and the planning component of the provincial department in that regard. In addition, again here reflecting a culmination of work that had started way earlier in the year, a process of expediting a transfer of land in Mpumalanga for fluor spar mining through engagement with the provincial government. In terms of the sector and or infrastructure plans that were reviewed, there had been work done by EDD in support of the work around the distressed mining communities, part of the work that flows out of the October Social Accord, a partnership there, a very close partnership with the Presidency as well as Human Settlement and DMR. In addition, under this indicator, we report on the construction update in relation to the sector-focused SIPs. On the next indicator, which relates to the spatial or infrastructure plans, we report on the spatial geographic physical construction update that is reported, developed by the PRCC technical team in relation to those, and that goes when both of those reports have gone through to the Cabinet Quarter in February. But in addition, in relation to the spatial infrastructure, an intergovernmental forum launched that has looked at the development of business plans in relation to strategic integrated projects along with the SIP coordinating agency in that process. Strategic engagements with the DFI. There is a quarterly engagement meeting between the department and the DFI. Equally on the indication relating to the ERBs, there's a similar process in which we engage with the DFIs and the ERBs around a dashboard of indicators. But in addition, during this quarter, the Minister attended the AGM of the IDC and held a lengthy engagement with the board following that AGM on strategic direction. Then in relation to the engagement forums fostering alignment between the FOE's and the PRC's investment decisions. Both the SIP coordinators forum and the intergovernmental forum that has been established under the PRCC has looked at addressing the alignment of the work of the SIPs with the National Infrastructure Plan. The PRCC also took part in the BRICS Leaders Africa Dialogue Forum that took place on the margins of the BRICS Summit in Durban in March, with a very important focus of the theme Unlocking Africa's Potential, BRICS and African Cooperation on Infrastructure. So a very strong element there of a partnership not only between the BRICS partners but between BRICS and Africa. And that also led to the launch of SIPSEP, which is the regional infrastructure integration. Moving on then to the value of special financing facilitated, the IDC Distress Fund, $46.9 million was invested in three companies during the fourth quarter. That resulted in 455 jobs being created or saved. Two of the companies were from the textile and clothing sector, one was from forestry, wood pulp and paper sector. Apart from the distress funds, the IDC put $4.2 billion in funding, approved $4.2 billion funding into the growth sectors. In terms of CIFA money, funding preliminary figures, bearing in mind that all of these figures obviously are subject now to the audit processes. $120 million in wholesale loans was approved, with $84 million for retail loans. On the interventions promoting economic development through leveraging state expenditure and procurement, we extended the memorandum of agreement with BAMTEX around local procurement of stationery by requesting the EDD entities to ensure that they supported locally made office stationery. In addition, and I think that the Minister has spoken on this in his budget vote speech, the duty rebate provision around bitumen is also one of the interventions that is reported on in the fourth quarter as an activity there. In relation to the green economy, an analysis on the employment creation resulting from government programs in the green economy, including through renewable energy and the public employment scheme that takes place within the green economy was conducted. And then there were a range of interventions to grow the green economy. The soda water heater designation process is one part of it. The development of an approach to solar skills training centres and knowledge hubs, the interaction with KZN around discussing an implementation of a green economy strategy for the province, building on a process that had again started earlier in the year in KZN, working with the South African insurance industry around the conversion from ordinary geysers to solar water geysers has been an important part of work driven by EDD during this quarter, and in addition a joint project with DTI, Environmental Affairs, Treasury and Mineral Resources around the prices of electricity on renewable energy investment has been undertaken. That then deals with the deliverables from the third budget program, spending level at 26%, $15.7 million spent on Program 3. I'm now moving to Program 4, and I hope that I'm moving at a pace that is comfortable for the Portfolio Committee. The first indicator under the Social Dialogue or Economic Development and Dialogue Budget Program is the number of social dialogue and capacity building engagements held, and there were six targets that were delivered or outputs that were delivered in the course of this. The first relates to the work on the poultry strategy and as part of that application to ITAC from the poultry industry in relation to the issues of duties on poultry imports. So there's been an important area of work there, combining work with workshops with DAS, with SARS, with ITAC, and rural development and DTI around those processes. In addition, the department has participated in a Denel Land System Supplier Day, the essence of that being a process of focusing on local procurement and trying to ensure that the implementation of the local procurement accord is enhanced through that process. We also participated in the convening by DGE of a supplier development summit, which was addressed by the minister, again with a focus on the role of local procurement accord in driving localization, industrialization, job creation. So again, a process of utilizing platforms to be able to promote local procurement and also the localization that will enable and enhance local procurement. In addition, under this indicator, the work around the youth accord process took place. A couple of interactions between ourselves and the social partners around the youth accord taking place in February and then ultimately culminating through into the processes taken to cabinet and ultimately through to the signing of the accord. In addition, the work around the district mining communities has been an important part of our work with our planning and social dialogue branches, being able to provide support to the leadership provided by the presidency around interventions within those communities. On the number of economic development agreements, what is reported on in this instance is further work on the steering committee with the Western Cape Furniture Initiative, a process in which the implementation of the skills project taking place where 200 workers will be trained in on-the-job training, an intervention again that started some time ago during the course of the financial year. On the interventions to save and create jobs, the process around scrap metal is reported on here in some detail. Similarly, the issue of the local poultry industry is reported on, but with an additional dimension here of work going down to community level to interact with participants in a rural poultry project in KZN to ensure that we are able to look at how assistance of a range of national departments, EDD, DTI, DAC, CEDA, CIFA, and the provincial department the provincial department can join to strengthen the rural poultry project in KZN. On the number of reports on implementation of framework agreements, you will have received copies in the budget vote speech of the report that had been prepared on the implementation of the accords. The bulk of the work of generating that report was done during the course of the latter part of the third and the fourth quarters. That had also been an input given into the Cabinet Reporter in February. On the advisory panel, had in fact functioned during the earlier part of the year, and here is where the department at times needs to ensure that we deliver work not necessarily at the time that when we had drafted the APP we had planned it. So when an advisory panel is required to be able to advise on infrastructure, for example, we would move ahead to do that. On the number of knowledge networks, we had a target of one which we achieved. The network session that was done during the fourth quarter was on the space economy, looking at the spatial development planning, particularly in relation to transformation of cities, as an important element of being able to ensure that spatial planning and economic development within cities is properly aligned. On the number of capacity building engagements, the engagements have been focused on a range of different interaction with trade union representatives from the clothing and clothing textile industries in February, but at the same time a series of district capacity building workshops. There are three of them. I'm not going to go through each of them in detail, but they are designed to engage with the underserviced district municipalities to ensure that there's an understanding of the new growth path, that the locally relevant economic development opportunities are linked to the NGP, and that we identify challenges in terms of the local economic development and entrepreneurship. So there are three that have taken place in the Alfred and Zor district, in the Zembe district, and in Kharif district during the course of that quarter. The report does include a list of the different participants, but they're people drawn from local structures, be it and across the social partners in essence. And then on productivity, entrepreneurship and innovation, a series of value chain workshops again being held in Gauteng and Limpopo, in PE and in KZN for that particular quarter. Workshops bring together a range of stakeholders to look at the process of establishing provincial sectoral value chain task teams to look at how to improve productivity. And Chairperson, that then gets us to the end of the performance report. For budget program 4, the expenditure was 2.5 million, 20% of the budget spent in that quarter. If I can hand over, Chairperson, to the CFO to speak at a high level of the financial performance, and then I will conclude with an update in relation to some of the HR issues so that the Portfolio Committee can have a full perspective on those issues.
Thank you, Daisy, and good evening, honourable members. The information that I'm going to be presenting at high level is in the main going to talk to the in-year monitoring report that was sent to the council officer as well as the executive authority as required by section 40 of the PFMA.
Can you speak to the mic, because I don't think I can hear you. I don't know about my mic.
Am I audible now, Chairperson?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you. As I was saying earlier on, I'm going to be reporting on financial performance for the fourth quarter at high level based on the in-year monitoring report that we compiled for National Treasury as well as for the DG and the Executive Authority as required by Section 44 of the PFMA 1999. The total adjusted budget for the department as at the end of March 2013 was 696.5 million, and expenditure just for the quarter alone was 178.5 million, which is about 26% of the adjusted appropriation, which I spoke to earlier on, 696.5 million. When we exclude transfers from the total allocation in terms of expenditure, spending for the fourth quarter amounts to 31% of the allocated budget, which is 166.9. As at the end of March, the commitments were 2.2 million. The DG has spoken at length in terms of the deliverables as well as the percentages spent for the quarter that we are reporting on. Administration, which had a budget of 60 million, we shifted out or moved out 7.8 million to economic planning and coordination, moved out 10 million out of policy development, 5.4 out of development and dialogue, all into economic planning and coordination. I would just like to bring to the committee's attention that we received an additional 30 million during the adjusted estimate of 2013. 13, and part of the 30 million, which is 10 million, was transferred to the University of Johannesburg as part of the collaboration with the institution for us to be able to capacitate around the economic regulatory measures. The other 20 million has been requested as part of the rollover so that we can complete the outstanding regulatory economic regulatory matters. Spending was quite depressed for compensation of employees. That's where we realized most of the savings. 27.7 million was shifted out of compensation into goods and services. We also had slow spending or underspending in capital, wherein we moved out 2 million or shifted out 2 million into both goods and services and increased the transfers to the departmental agencies. The net increase that one would have seen during the adjusted estimates amount to the 17.5 for the department, excluding the transfers that I spoke to earlier on. The next slide refers to the departmental receipts for the quarter. The main contributor of that, we received an additional dividend from IDC for the investment that we have. So we have a constant dividend of 50 million that was declared in June that we received in March and transferred to the revenue fund before the end of the financial year. We didn't have any losses to write off at the end of the financial year. We also received 530 million in the form of fines, penalties that are charged or received through the Competition Commission endorsed by the tribunal that we also have transferred to the revenue fund at the end of the financial year.
Before we get to Sia Bongo, can I come back to the HR issue? And then we'll be able to hand over. This indicated in the ACP presentation that I would get back to by the end of May with a process of how we were going to be able to address the HR issue. I'm in the process at the moment of interacting with the minister on proposals, and so would request that I can put it in writing to within the next couple of weeks. But I will speak now to the processes that we are involved in, so there's a common understanding of the approach that we're adopting. The portfolio committee will be aware of the fact that the post establishment that was initially approved was 265 posts, but that Treasury funded only part of that establishment and funded it on an incremental basis, building up to 166, which is the funding level for this year, and the funding level therefore that remains. So we've plateaued in terms of our funding level for that establishment. What we had indicated in the APP was that for this year we have set a target of 146, because we did not want to land up where we overstretched ourselves in terms of being able to fill the post. If we are able to go beyond that, the funding will enable us to do that. Effectively, what we have looked at is the strengths and weaknesses of the organizational structure. We've identified major strengths of it in that it does provide us with that combination of managerial capacity and expert capacity. And given the nature of our department as a policy department as opposed to a service delivery department, the scope to have that level of expert or specialist capacity is particularly important. But while we have identified that as a strength, part of the challenge that we have is that the specialist posts are determined at a particular post level. So if, for example, we appoint somebody at a level 12, when they have been in that post for a couple of years, there is no process being able to retain them and promote them. They would need to apply for a higher level job. So you can land up in a situation where there is difficulty in career passing your specialist. So we want to be able to engage with DPSA on that and try to get to a point where we are able to have a band of salary levels attached to a post, so that we're able to retain people within our department for longer periods of, specifically for specialists, for a longer period of time. So we've also identified that there is a disjuncture between the transitional structure that we have and the budget program structure. And that is of major concern because it puts a big challenge on managerial responsibilities. So, for example, in what had been designed as the transitional structure, there were four branches in core business, but there are three budget programs in core business. Apart from that, the disjuncture between the organizational structure and the financial structure of the department, what we have also identified is that there is an excess of managerial functions or posts within the structure. In the transitional structure, there are 22 chief directors. In addition, as we have unfolded as a department, we are also concerned that at times there are functional dislocations. So there are functions that in fact have been subdivided into a way that does not necessarily make logical sense or enhance our ability to move forward. That's particularly relevant in relation to some of the dimensions of policy and planning, but also between the new branch that had been created of sector and spatial, which has overlapping responsibilities both with policy as well as with planning. In addition, I think we'd also flag for the portfolio committee that the PICC technical team at the moment is just located as a chief directorate in the middle of planning and coordination. And given the volume of work and the significance of that work, it's a structure that is not going to be appropriate long term. In terms of our staffing model, the goal that we are approaching is that within the administration program, we should be aiming for permanent appointments, and we have quite intensively and quite effectively over the last quarter of last year and moving into this year, moved from where there are people employed on contract in that budget program to moving to getting people at posts filled on a permanent basis. We would also be intending, in terms of our managerial posts within core business, to ensure that those are filled on a permanent basis, but recognizing that the other posts may well be posts filled on a contract basis. And I think in our interaction with you around the APP, the Minister had elaborated at some length around the need for us to have a staffing model that enables us to employ people for specific projects that are time-bound, to be able to ensure that when we need expertise brought in, we're able to do so, to be able to get secondment of staff from other institutions, and to have a mix of that. That is going to require some quite intensive HR management processes, and that we will need to ensure that we're able to put in place to keep to be able to manage that effectively. We've already in the report indicated our staffing levels for the previous year. I think what we need to flag though is that because of some of the anomalies in structure, we have used posts where they have been needed, and that is a process in which we are in the process of trying to ensure that we improve on our processes. I think I had also reported previously that we have initiated a process of putting in place a headhunting company so that we are able to source the kind of expertise that we need and ensure that we are really able to recruit top quality personnel. We don't want to land up in a situation where we fill posts for the sake of filling posts in order to deal with our vacancy rate. We are really concerned that, particularly in a department that is as small as ours, the quality staff is an important aspect to it. The fourth quarter did see a quite significant increase in the employment processes, and that has been sustained through into the first quarter of the new year. We've had 8 permanent appointments taking place in the admin program in the first quarter in the beginning of this financial year. We've had some shorter term employment in planning, 3 people appointed into the policy branch, 2 people appointed into the social dialogue branch, and a number of interviews that posts that have been advertised and interviews going. So there is a focused recruitment process that we are driving as we speak. We are working closely with DPSA to do an assessment of the HR capacity in the department. We have mapped the staff against the post establishment. We have been through a process of job evaluating 30 of the posts that were new posts on the structure that had not been previously advertised in compliance with the DPSA requirements that before posts can be advertised, they needed to be JE. The process that we are currently dealing with the Minister is determining the functional structure for this financial year. And effectively what we are in the process of deliberating on is moving from a situation in which we've got 4 branches and 22 chief directorates to maintaining 3 branches that speak directly or speak logically to our budget program structure. So it would remain with economic policy, planning and coordination and the social dialogue branches. But reducing the managerial functions from the 22 chief directors that I've spoken to 12, which speaks pretty directly to our sub-programs. But there are instances in which the staffing within a chief director or within a sub-program is so small that we've actually combined 2 sub-programs, so that managerially they would be managed by a single chief director. As soon as we finalise that process with the Minister, we would then obviously need to do the matching and placing of the staff and then be able, on the basis of having pinned that down, then be able to move to advertising the vacant posts and be able to move ahead on that basis. So that is what we are basically at, the point that we're at the moment. We're looking at economic policy development, having a possibility of 3 chief directorates, planning and coordination, having 6 chief directorates, importantly the one there being the PICC technical task team, one of the areas in which there's still a disjuncture with the budget program because we don't have a sub-program dealing with infrastructure. We have ring-fenced the money for that, the PICC technical team, but that chief directorate does not at this point speak directly to the sub-programs, but in the MTEC process that takes place now through until August, it is one of the changes to the budget program structure that we will be flagging. And then in social dialogue, it would be 3 chief directors combining 2 of the sub-programs under one process. So, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I hope that that's given a sense of the work that we are doing in HR. It is a job that is incomplete, but it is a job that the management team has been working on very intensively, both in the fourth quarter of last year and going through into this year. And we do hope that it will put us on a basis to be able to function effectively as a department for this year. The MTSF processes that government is moving to consider now, both in terms of the financial planning as well as the strategy planning, will obviously also have to have its HR component, so to ensure that over the coming 5-year cycle that we would have the appropriate structure and staffing to put in place. So that any changes that need to be made to our budget program structure, and I flagged the issue of infrastructure as one, and looking at the structural arrangements. And one of the issues that we are quite clear about is that locating infrastructure correctly within the organizational structure is also something that we would need to look at. But we would then need to look at whether the what adjustments need to be made on the basis of the current structure. The ongoing process of recruitment needs to take place as we go through that, but at the same time also ensuring that we don't recruit staff on a permanent basis for components that then may be changed through that MTSF process. And then just flagging ongoing interaction with DPSA, both on the organizational structure and most importantly around the mechanisms that we feel we need to have in place in the department to be able to recruit specialist staff and retain specialist staff and be able to career path specialist staff. We have experienced challenges in getting senior specialist staff into the department on a permanent basis. We have found it easier to recruit the middle management level of specialist staff. What we don't want is a situation where people who come into the department cut their teeth in the department and then move on to elsewhere for promotional purposes. We would want to be able to retain that institutional knowledge and that expertise within the department, and that's one of the challenges we need to interact with DPSA on. Chairperson, I hope that that's given a sense of a department that is working to address some of the challenges that we've experienced in HR and ensure that we've got the right capacity in place to be able to deliver on this year's ACP and then obviously for the MTSA growth. And can I stop at that point? Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. I guess, yes, members have been listening to the presentation, which just gave us an overview of what happened in the last quarter of the 2012-13 financial year. And attached to that are financials. The matter that the DG was talking to now was related to the current year structure. I think it's a question that we asked when we were deliberating with them on the issues related to their annual performance plan. So I think we should focus on this one and then we'll come back to the annual performance plan one. Can I get any hands? I'm noting Mr. Hussein, Mr. Kabaza, Babu Njulu. Okay, in that order.
Chair, thank you very much. My questions are mostly around issues of clarity from the presentation. There were two reports you talked about, the one being the impact on state actions on employment and a workshop held on assessing employment of the state. I just want to try and understand what the purpose of it is and what you do with that information. The other report was the impact of BBBEE on NGP targets. I don't know if you're going to have this information available now, but do you know what the outcome of that report was? And is there some information you can share about that? The youth employment strategy, I'm interested to hear if there are any plans around monitoring on the implementation of it and the outcomes from that strategy. And then the interactions to save or create jobs. Given the massive targets that we have with NGP and the broad acceptance that we've got quite a long road to walk in increasing jobs in the country, do you not think that only four interventions for the entire year is far too little? Should the department not be involved in many more interventions given the massive target that we have to achieve? And the last one is a question to the CFO. One of the closing comments you talked about was the 30 million rand, and you talked about the 10 million rand that was transferred to a tertiary institution. And then the balance of 20 million, you said it was for economic regulatory matters. Sorry, I don't understand. If you can just please expand on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to first talk to the issue of jobs and surveying on jobs and construction. I'd like to understand what has been the outcomes of that survey, and secondly, why necessarily specific focus on construction and not on other sectors. Secondly, I'd like to understand the point you're making about the impact on jobs of trade in Africa. Does it mean that we've increased exports to Africa? If so, in what sectors have we increased those exports? And what does that mean in real terms as far as job creation is concerned? The numbers specifically. The amendment to the Competitions Competitions Act, I'm not aware, Chairperson, that amendment was brought to the committee as part of the parliamentary process. And why has that not happened? Is it constitutionally allowed? Maybe you should school me on that, because I'm not quite aware that anything can be amended without the participation of Parliament. The last issue, Chairperson, to the CFO on, but where at the beginning of the financial performance, bullet number two, the overview of revenue, you make mention of the main revenue generator being the fines and penalties from the competition IPC. Now, one understands that revenue is not necessarily part of the operational work of the department. It's money that gets transferred to the ECD, to National Treasury. If one understands, if that money, when it comes to you, you then record that into the ECD's financial books before it is passed on to National Treasury, if that is so, if it is recorded like that, why is it that it is not reflecting on your financial books? Because necessarily it would be entered into your financial books before you can transfer it. I'm seeking that kind of clarification here. And the exclusion, if it was just an oversight, one would understand, but if it is a deliberate exclusion and it doesn't reflect in your books, how then do you account for it in terms of just simply auditing the financial accounts?
Thanks, Babu.
Thanks, Chairperson, and would like to welcome the presentation. Chairperson, I will start with the engagement, that is page 9, where you talk about the engagement with the provinces and local government. Chair, I'll start by saying when this Department of Economic Development was established, always ask this whenever we are going to the provinces. We find that they still continue with their old habits as if there is no nationality. We want to find out this engagement. What is it? What it contains? Do they align themselves with national or what type of engagement do you engage with them, then what? Because we have been asking this question, we heard that there is MINMEC, but we don't find out in the MINMEC. After that, then what? Because if you go to provinces, it's a work as usual. They continue with their own things, and you don't find that alignment. I want us, if you can take us through, do you have any MOUs which we can say we have agreed with this province, and why only those few and not others where you say you have engaged with them? Number two, Chair, is the Economic Development Institute. What is it? What is it? I remember that we did ask about it because a resolution of all over, in fact, not even Malawi, but we have been asking. Now you say you have reviewed, and what is it? How? What it contains? How is it going to look like? And then on page 9, again, you said you have engagement with the DFIs about the work of SAFER. We always ask about these other DFIs. They are many, and heavy, and left, and that one. And then we have always said, who coordinates these DFIs? We know that it's IDC and SAFER which belongs to us. Then what about these others? When do you check whether you are not duplicating or you are not working in parallel? I hope that engagement is correcting that, if you can take us into your confidence. Green economy. I remember the IDP saying that they are using a huge amount of money, but millions, doing a feasibility study of green economy. I have not heard whether have we been able to come up with the results from them. I see here, I know about this solar water, but I want to check the holistic of this green economy feasibility that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks,
Bapu.
Julie, any other? Dr. Mopo?
Who will be trained in that institute? And also, the amount of engagement that the department is involved in. I'm wondering about the coordination of all this. Isn't there a danger that you would lose some of the, maybe sometimes the follow-up, the monitoring, the, I think there are so many of them that you're involved in. And just how do you go about the coordination of all this? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. And the demo, any other? Methodist.
Just one question, Chair. On the training workshops that we held, the beginning senior management, what was the duration of the workshop? And I'm just trying to think of
an answer to. Thank you. Any other? Okay, may I then ask the question? Thank you very much. I just want, my first question would be around the financial. I think I will ask a question that was asked, I think by Mr. Kabasa, on the receipt. It's not exactly the question. My understanding is that you've recorded this revenue, but there's something that I don't understand in terms of adjustments. You've adjusted the receipt. How possible is that? Of 51.124 million. Was it done through treasury approval? And what was it used for? And I take it you are saying this is only for the fourth quarter. So in the fourth quarter, you've adjusted 51 million under interest, dividends, and rent on land. And you said that, I take it, because according to the overview, you said the main under the second bullet, you're saying from IDC media dividends. Just want to understand that 51 million, what is it all about? Because it will help me. I have a similar understanding with Babu Babaza that the money is supposed to be transferred into the revenue fund, the National Revenue Fund, on a monthly basis. Yes. The annual budget for the department, how much is it? Can I get clarity on that? For the fourth quarter of 2012-2013. I just want to check something before I ask my question. That's why I'm asking. If you can clarify me now, I'll appreciate that.
The cumulative total that we have, that is the 696. We didn't have a specific budget allocated per quarter. So if you look at the... Thank you. If you look at the actual post adjustment itself, that's the 696 that we referred to. So when we took the 26%, it's the 26% out of the 696.
Come again?
When we're talking 31% or 26% spending.
Yeah, that's the actual spending.
Yes.
And then you say spending after adjustments, isn't it?
Yes, out of the 696. The 696 includes the transfers made to the entity. And when we exclude the transfers, we have which remains within the department being 160.
So the 26% is the quarterly expenditure.
Just for January, February, March.
Yes, and the actual quarter was 176. So
178.
Well, I mean 178. Yes. So the correct thing. The correct interpretation would be that for the quarter four, you only spend 26%,
yes,
inclusive of transfers. So outside transfers, which total excluding transfers, it will be 31%.
The base being 166.
Yeah. In monetary terms, how much would that be? 23.7. That was adjustment. This is not quite clear because it doesn't, it just gives the actual, the expenditure percentage. But in terms of actual expenditure per quarter, is that 178 an expenditure?
For the whole quarter,
yes. Is that the expenditure or is it the income, the budget? Is that the actual expenditure? And what was the budget for the quarter?
We didn't have a budget per quarter.
But how do you come to 26% at 1% if you didn't have budget for that? Is that a normal way of doing it? It can be.
Check us in the
budget
for quarter four.
So that you
can
compare.
Yes. 152 million. We don't have it on as a slide.
Oh, you do, but you do have it in your record.
Yes, ma'am.
152 482. Come again?
152 482 million.
482.
That's what is in the A2P.
But if that's, how much was your budget?
For
the so you adjusted positively. But 23? No. Something is not checking here.
The 23 is for the entire year, Chairperson. If we were just to match 152 and 178, we would have an overspend.
Exactly, that's
yes.
Why I'm saying something's not
changing. 25.9 or 26.
Of how much?
26. Remember we said 142? 152.2?
Yes.
We spent 178.
Yeah.
The net difference would be 25.975 over what would have been spent, what was planned to be spent for that period.
But what is this 26%, 31%?
As I said, the percentage is against the total allocation itself, which is...
No, but we're working on a quarterly basis. We're not working on the annual.
I know that.
Yes. So you can't then say for quarters. You are giving us expenditure per quarter, but in terms of your financial, you give us something different. It is not supposed to be like that because you are not disclosing properly.
Chairperson, can I,
yes.
Can I assist? The first column provides the actual figures of expenditure in the fourth quarter.
I agree, I understand
the,
that.
The percentage is calculated against the percentage for the full financial year.
Yes,
so one is able to say in that quarter, excluding transfers, we spent 31%. Right? And if you had looked at the percentage expenditure on the previous quarters, they would have been below.
Yes.
Did you?
I'm saying therefore, I understand what you are explaining. But I'm saying it's not proper because you overspent for that quarter. You are giving us a wrong picture now. Because you spent 178 million when you had only 152 million for the quarter.
Chairperson, yes, in the sense that the Treasury guidelines more or less divide the income up per on a 25% basis. But in fact, we develop a spending plan, and we should be spending according to that. So it depending on how one plans to spend one's budget during the course of the year, it's perfectly legitimate to have in a quarter spending that would be under or over a particular percentage.
No, it's correct. Kind
of. It's correct that in the ATP we had set that figure of 152. But given where our spending was at the beginning of the fourth quarter, we have developed at the end of the third quarter a spending plan to be able to address some of the spending problems that the department has had.
DG, I'm not saying anything you're saying is wrong. What I'm saying is you are not giving us correct information here. The fact of the matter, you had a budget for the fourth quarter that was 152.482, but then you spent 178,456. And according to Treasury, you have to have a budget for every quarter. It's a projection, it's a projected figure that you normally have. That's why you have adjustments in October, so that you are able to adjust where you feel you're not going to be able to spend accordingly. Where you feel you have underestimated your projections, you adjust. Hence, you were able to take out money from compensation of employees, 28 million approximately, to adjust it to other areas which we were told is under goods and services. So the figures as given here are not a true reflection, because your percentage spent is against the annual figure, which is not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be giving us the percentage spent of your actual expenditure for the quarter, which is 178. And that should be a minus, not a positive, because you overspent, according to the CFO. Yes. That's what you did. You overspent for the quarter.
And we agree, and we can certainly adjust the.
Yes,
the
all what we're saying is that give us the correct picture here. That's why I wanted to understand, so that I'm able to interpret what is here. If that can be corrected, so that you give us the right picture and the structure, how you report, it's supposed to give us that indication. And normally, Treasury would give you the year-on-year adjustment, how you've been faring comparatively to the year-to-date. I think that helps. I guess you agree with me, CFO?
Yes, Chairperson. I'm accepting that we should have used the correct base, which is the estimated projection, or the projections for quarter four against the actual expenditure against quarter four, instead of using the total allocation as a base.
Yes, because what follows then would be the explanation why.
The variance.
Yes. So that we have a clear understanding, and that should be written, I think, CFO, when you give us the corrected version.
Well, do so, check it.
Okay, thank you. Question on page 5. There's something that is a bit the employment assessed through modeling. Just wanted to have clarity on that one. You're saying you signed an MOU with the ILO. Last time we spoke around the assessment of the employment impact, you indicated to us that you're still working on the model, if I remember well, within different departments and sectors and also in the provinces and or throughout the three spheres of government, and that would have included the state-owned entities and the other parastatal. Does this mean, therefore, that you are now working on the model itself? Because you are saying it has been completed, and I can see that there's work related to it. May you remind me, what's RIA? Come again?
Regulatory impact.
Oh, regulatory impact assessment. In terms of the quarterly report, not the slide, there's no explanation on this. There's an annual target. What does that mean? In terms of performance and explanation, you had it as an indicator, which is a very important indicator. There's nothing appearing on that in terms of your performance. May I know, because the target was one. The other question that I had on the earlier question was, I'm not sure how you target your provinces. Are you targeting the big provinces that actually that contribute largely to the GDP, when you do your targets and workshops, especially on the assessments? I just want to understand the rationale behind targeting certain, areas against other areas, so that we can understand that. Secondly, I think the other issue is around the Competition Amendment Act. Maybe brief Member Gwabaza, that we did get an explanation here from both the Minister and the Competition Commission that the Act itself was signed by the President but not effected, not given an effective date. So this is an act that was passed, that was processed by a portfolio committee in the last term, the third term. And it had some challenges. So the President held it back while consulting. He had consultations done, and then after those consultations, he then effected some of the provisions of the Act that the Competition Commission was complaining about. So that's why they are able also to investigate the market. Huh? Yeah, the market inquiries. Yeah. So what I wanted to know here. This is in relation to Section 6. How are we faring after that effect, after the President has given a green light on this? Is there any improvement in the work of the agency in as far as this section is concerned? Or you feel they are still wanting, we found wanting in terms of the implementation of that? Well, they've been waiting for this, Are they making any impact or good use of that of the amendment itself? I think the question on interventions was asked. I'm not going to ask by Mr. Moore. There's a mention of 4.2 billion funding for the growth sector. Which sectors are those by IDC? The one on the distress and small business. I just want to know which sectors were those, and what it will help. Previously, we were told that there were companies in distress that are related to the textile industry and so forth. I just want to know in this case whether what is different and whether this 4.2 billion forms part of the distress fund that was budgeted for by the IGC as part of the intervention during the world economic crisis. Because if I recall well, they said they had spent something, what was left was around 2 billion if I recall well. And if they've added any financing on that. The last one, okay. The number of interventions. I'm a bit, this will follow the very first question I had on the targeted provinces. You seem to be more on the coastal provinces, especially when you talk interventions and so forth. I just want to understand the rationale behind that. And your presence seems to be more on that. And there's something that I'm noticing. Your high presence in the Western Cape. Is it a delivery thing or what? I'm not political. Or is it because you have a presence here? That they move. That's why they're loud, yes. Yeah. No, but they are ruling Western Cape. Don't forget that. And they are priding themselves with that. That's a wishful thinking. It's fine. Because it makes you work harder. Yeah, my last one. ITEC. Did you? What is your view on this ITEC poultry matter? I just want to understand. It's not related to... Oh yes, it is, because it's here. The one on the poultry. On the application by the importers, meat importers and exporters. I mean the opposition, not the application. The application is done by the poultry industry, isn't it? Poultry association, but then there's an opposition on that increase of tariffs against imports. Can you tell us a bit about what you know about that matter, and what is the department advising on that? Yeah, that would be my last question.
Chairperson, there are a couple of us that I'm going to touch on, but then I'm going to hand over to the line function. answers to it. I think the first one perhaps is the question in relation to the allocation that was given to us in the adjusted E&E in relation to capacity building for the economic regulatory body. That was the amount of 30 million that the CFO had spoken to, the 10 million of which has been utilized in with the University of Joburg in an MOU to design a course that they will be running designed to capacitate people who are employed in economic regulatory bodies. So it's not only dealing with our own economic regulatory bodies, but it would be designed to capacitate people serving in economic regulatory bodies, but with a view also to the possibility for it to also enable capacity building of people who oversee the economic regulatory body, so that we are able to improve the management of that. That was a process that had come out of the MTEC process last year. The 20 million that we have remaining from that 30 million is something that we have requested a rollover process from Treasury and received an in-principle agreement, but obviously subject to the final approval, particularly given that it was an allocation that we were informed about extremely late in the financial year. So we will, with UJ and with other departments, be looking at then how we utilize the rest of that. But in essence, the mandate in relation to that was capacity building in the economic regulatory bodies.
So you are just managing, it's not only for the entity?
It's not for our entity.
Yes.
It's designed as an intervention, and it is at this stage a once-off allocation. It's not that it's an additional baseline allocation that goes forward. It's an allocation of 30 million to look at a capacity building intervention in relation to economic regulatory bodies as a whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not only those that are related to EDC.
Not only the, those that are related to us.
Okay.
Which is why we...
It's a function. It's a function that is added just for this purpose.
Yeah, exactly that. So it's a function of being able to look at how best to capacitate. So that was the one issue that I want to look at. Amendments of the Competition Act, Chairperson, you've addressed that aspect. I think on the basis of that, let me then hand over to each of the non-functional managers to address their particular questions that come up from it. I think perhaps, though, there's one aspect that I think would be useful for us to share with the portfolio committee, and that is the process that we are involved in. It was a question that came up around there are so many different initiatives and interventions, and how do we land up where we don't lose track of the interventions. We have put a large amount of work in over the last quarter of the year and in this quarter to look at being able to design strategic projects within EDD that enable us to have clear work streams that go forward so that within that we're able to sustain work and not land up where the coordination and the monitoring of initiatives falls down. So we're hoping that through that process of being able to say there's a lot of work that is done within EDD around, for example, small business promotional support. It may be policy branch that is doing it, it may be the planning branch that is doing it, it may even be social dialogue that is doing capacity building around small business. How do we ensure that we maximize the synergy between those initiatives so we are designing a project around small business support and promotion that would then enable us to have a variety of work streams and in that way hopefully improve our ability to monitor the work that we're doing, set clear deliverables as we go through those projects, be able to determine whether this is a multi-year project or a single-year project. And we do think that this project process that we're involved in at the moment will also help us to have a far better APP going forward, because we would be able to actually, instead of having the targets as they are now numerical, actually be able to look at setting of the targets. So that would include a project around the green economy. It includes a project around rural development strategy. Obviously, those are also elements in which we've got to keep partnership with other departments or other institutions. But that mechanism, I think, of structuring our work into projects and work streams with clear deliverables in those project work streams, with a relationship between those projects and our key performance indicators in the APP, would enable us to have a better monitoring mechanism. We have been learning very intensively around monitoring and the importance of tracking information. I think the work that we've been doing on monitoring the implementation of the social accords has highlighted for us the importance from the beginning of a process of developing monitoring mechanisms so that you're able to generate information going forward. Certainly the work that's done in the PRCC, which is really in-depth monitoring and collecting of that data, has also enabled us to be on a very steep learning curve around the importance of that, and it's certainly something going forward that we're building in. In addition, in our management meeting now on a monthly basis, we table a monthly report on our APP so that collectively we are able to own the information and be able to also look at how work that is being done on a particular indicator may well be connecting with work being done by a different branch on a different indicator, and in that way be able to ensure that we don't drop the ball. So we're hoping that those processes will enable us going forward to ensure that we've got a better monitoring evaluation system and therefore a better reporting process, and out of that then also improving our planning as we're going forward, because it's on the basis of your monitoring and evaluation and your reporting that you're better able to plan going forward. I think those are the kind of general issues that I wanted to pick up on. If I can now hand over, perhaps as we move down the line, CFO, you want to?
Thank you, DJ. Through you, Chairperson, the question around the revenue that is received from the entities, the fine, the penalty, comes through, it is received by the entities. The entities transfer the money into EDB's books. We record it and we transfer it out to the National Revenue Fund. And it is in our books, we record on it. Even in our annual report, it is disclosed as such. On the issue of dividends being revised or adjusted, in our MTF, Chairperson, or E&E, we had 101 estimated as what we thought we would potentially receive as dividends. And during the adjusted estimate, we realized that we were not going to receive the 101 because 50 million had been declared in June 2012. So we revised down what we thought we would receive as a dividend from 101 to 50 million, hence that revision of 51 Chairperson.
Can I just make a follow up if there's no other question on this particular one? So the same thing applies, I guess, in terms of your figures. Because the 51 million adjustment is on the basis of the annual estimate.
Yes,
because you know you put actual, that's why I'm asking. Because when I looked at the actual for quarter four, it says 50,054. You understand? And then when it comes to the adjustment, it was like you adjusted it down. So it wasn't clear what was going on. And then in terms of the main appropriation, I thought this was the actual budget because your actual expenditure is 50 and therefore you've adjusted it downwards. So you see, it's not, because it's still not giving us the correct figure. Because also in terms of your revenue projection, you do have you have the money for quarterly budget. I mean.
Yes. If I could just add, Chairperson, on this one, IDC only declares dividend
annual.
Yes. So it is not necessarily quarterly that we would anticipate a dividend out of. But we will adjust this so that it reflects. If we were expecting the money in the fourth quarter, we will reflect that it was just for the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Even though we will also then have a health warning that says we had anticipated 101 million. But the debt that declared dividend is only 50 million, hence the revision by the 51.
Okay. So what should then explain that? You know, there's something that's not also coming out okay here. The post adjustment, that would be the annual one, ne? Yes. But then in terms of the figures, the main appropriation, can you see that? Main appropriation, 631,493. That's the total for the year. This is what you have budgeted for.
Yes, like we estimated when we did the EMP that in terms of revenue we would receive them.
So you under-collected?
Yes.
With 508?
No, Chairperson. We collected 580. We collected 50 million, which is a dividend that was paid to us by IDC, and these are the fines that were transferred through.
What's the reason for the adjustment?
The
51. Yes.
Because the declared dividend was not 101 as we thought.
As at the end of the financial year.
It was declared in June, but the actual funding was only received in March.
Mm.
The actual money was only transferred into the PNP account in March. So at the time that we were doing the adjusted estimate, we already knew that our projected 101 million isn't going to become 101. We're only going to see 50 million from IDC in the form of dividends.
Mm.
Hence the revision, or we revised it down so that it becomes the same as the declared dividend.
So by the end of April, you had collected 508. Is that what you're saying?
End of March.
End of March, sorry, yes.
We collected 580 and left in our book. It has been transferred to the revenue fund.
Okay. I think also the way you structured your thing is confusing. Can you correct it also? Okay, you may proceed with the other question, other responses. Members, please indicate those who have a problem. I know there are problems of transport, especially for those, or we only have a cashier here and Laboria. Are you staying in Laboria? Tell me, Claire. Huh? Oh, Acacia. And the Demogu? Labore. But you are self-sufficient, isn't it? Huh?
Yes.
Okay. I know. There are those who are self-sufficient, yeah. So don't worry. You'll be covered. I just wanted to check how many of them. Can I just confirm with you members before they conclude? Would you be comfortable if we close off now or we close at 9? and refer some of the questions to next week. To start with, because in our earlier meeting we had agreed that the DG, and I'm sorry that I didn't mention that when we started, we had agreed that we're going to stop somewhere so that we continue with the responses in the next meeting. I know it's on the youth accord. Before you perhaps deal with the youth accord, to give us responses. I don't know if that members, I just need confirmation, or would you want to go up to 9 o'clock? Confirmation from the members. The second, the first one. The demo, you had your hand up. You were also going to say the same. Okay. So you were dying inside. I understand this has been a very long day for us. We started meetings from after 8 until now. It has been very long. And in all these meetings, we needed to concentrate a lot. Hence, I'm asking them. I can see they're very uncomfortable. As part of the chair's job is just to take care of the welfare of the members. So I was trying that. DJ, I'm sorry that I didn't mention this in the beginning, but I hope you understand. You do have the questions. If it gives you time now to go and verify certain things, and if you can come with the corrected financials in the next meeting. We will be dealing with the youth accord on the 18th, Tando? Yes, the 18th. You want to say something?
I would like your guidance, because obviously the delegation that came to address the youth accord would not be exactly the same team of people.
Okay.
So for me, what I would want your guidance on is, if there are questions here that we can answer in writing, would that be an adequate way of dealing with it, instead of bringing the entire team down? Or would you prefer for us to engage with it in the meeting directly?
DG, I think that's entirely upon you, but we are avoiding the written responses on this, because, but if, even if you bring written responses and you talk to them, not at length, that would help. You don't necessarily need to, in my own opinion, you can meet with them and then talk on their behalf on that during that day, because it's just responses. They understand, you know, the actual context of the question, and I guess they'll be able to give you correct responses.
Because on that basis, I'm sure we would be absolutely fine.
Okay.
To prepare the necessary responses, and the team of people who will be here will be able to speak to that.
Okay.
And we would be quite happy to
thank you very much for your understanding. Let me once more thank members for their presence and participation, and thank you, DG, with the delegation, high-level delegation. I think we have the picture of what is happening in the department, and I guess members are comfortable, hence the questions that they have asked. Thank you very much. May I then declare the meeting adjourned, and wish you a good night rest. Thank you.
What is members? What is quiet members?
They are the second people.
Whip. Ungiyekelani ngikhubeka ngoba ngiyabona ukuthi hayi cha. Sengikhuluma ngayo. Awu, mangingibheke from you.